Technology is not universal. Just because something works in one place doesn't mean it will fit an environment where the assumptions and priorities are different. I'm reminded of years ago, MIT's One Laptop Per Child project got hung up when in testing in some places in the developing world, this intended educational device for children was instead used by parents as a light for nighttime. Some MIT engineers are facing the same challenges as they try to make a new and improved wheelchair work with local materials, simple, easy-to-find bicycle components, and a design that addresses the unpredictable terrain in rural villages. The Leveraged Freedom Chair, as it's known, has been tested in Tanzania, Guatemala, and India and has proved so popular that the engineers have come up with a new version of the chair for another place known for unpredictable urban terrain, the American market. Amos Winter and Benjamin Judge are co-founders of Grit, the startup company behind the chairs. Winter is an assistant professor of mechanical engineering at MIT, and Judge is a product development engineer. The story begins with them explaining how this new chair is propelled.
Any conventional style wheelchair that you propel by grabbing the push rims is pretty arduous to propel if you have to go, say, 2 miles on a rough dirt track to get from your home to school or home to a job. And so it was that kind of mountain bike for your arms type scenario that we were trying to address. So the real novel feature of our chair is that you effectively change gears by just grabbing the levers at different points. So if you grab very high on our levers, you get a long lever length, produce a lot of leverage, and can produce the torque to go through mud, sand, steep hills. But if you slide your hands down the levers closer to the pivots, every time you push on the levers, you now go through a longer stroke and a bigger angle, and that makes the wheels spin faster. So we get a larger range of mechanical advantage than a standard 10-speed bicycle, and it enables our wheelchair to go about 80% faster than a regular wheelchair on a dirt road and produce 50% more force on the ground than you could with a standard push rim chair. And then the other big merit of this design is that the person is the most complex part of the machine. The person is doing that complex mechanical task of shifting their hands up and down the levers and acting like a derailleur would on a conventional bicycle. So because the person's doing that complex task, the drivetrain itself can be a very simple assembly of just a single-speed bicycle chain drive. So the drivetrain is really robust and low cost.
Isn't there also a sanitation issue with using the push rims in the developing world where your hands are pretty much on the treads of the wheel in addition to the push rim, and whatever's on the road is going to get on your hand?
That's correct, John. Your hands can get pretty muddy and dirty. But the other sanitation issue with mobility devices in developing countries is that if you use a tricycle, you can picture it like a bicycle that you pedal with your hands that has three wheels. Those are typically much too large to use indoors. So when you do go indoors and go to the bathroom, you have to crawl on the floor. So we wanted to make a product that would be small enough to fit into a bathroom.
And tell me about that front wheel, Ben.
Sure. So the front wheel, we have a larger front wheel than you would see on a typical wheelchair. We do that, one, to roll over the really rough rocks. It allows us to have a longer wheelbase, so the amount of bumps that you feel would be less. And the great thing about that front wheel, we take this inspiration from the bicycle industry. We use all bicycle components, so that what's molded into that rubber wheel is a front bike hub. So it's nice and repairable. You're rolling it through the mud and whatnot, and need to service it, you can bring it into a bike shop and have it fixed.
Now, how do you develop a product for the United States urban market from a product in the developing world? And the needs, I suspect, would be completely different.
Not as much as you would think. Turns out that a pothole in Bombay is just as a problem as going through a pothole in Boston. So we actually heard from U.S. users themselves when they had witnessed what we were doing in developing countries that, like, hey, this would be a great thing for me to go in my farm, in my, going throughout Boston with all this construction going.
Hiking trail through the snow.
Yeah, all sorts of scenarios that we were experiencing in developing countries that people experience in the U.S. as well. So what we did is we actually took the developing world chair that we had developed and worked with U.S. users and kind of took it through their normal course of use and said, okay, what works for you? What doesn't work for you?
But we had to realize that users in the U.S. were going to transport this chair in their car. And we had to make it break down quickly, have quick-release wheels, collapsible frame. We had to make it serviceable in the U.S., so use U.S. bike part standards. So I think what's powerful about this message is that the core technology has been unchanged, and we can still promote mobility in rough terrain, but we've been able to tailor the technology for the specific needs of users in different parts of the world.
Finally, who's been changed? Tell me the story of someone in your development process who you could see was changed by this product.
Sure. I think the best example that we have is of Ashok.
Yeah.
So Ashok was a tailor in India, and he had a successful tailoring business. He unfortunately sustained a spinal cord injury when he fell out of a tree, and you know was effectively turned into a burden on his household. He was you know his family had to take care of him instead of him providing for his family. We were able to get him a Freedom Chair. And he was the next day he was able to reopen his tailoring business. It was quite this inspirational story. We have this great image of him, propelling himself to his store, followed by people in his village. And he's now back to being the breadwinner of his family.
Yeah, the barrier to getting to his shop from his house was less than a kilometer of dirt road that had a drainage ditch in the middle of it. And he couldn't get over that with a regular wheelchair. And with ours, he was able to.
So kind of a thrill for two engineers from MIT.
Absolutely.
Amos and Benjamin, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Amos Winter and Benjamin Judge are co-founders of Grit, the startup company behind the leveraged Freedom Chair. Winter is an assistant professor of mechanical engineering at MIT. Judge is a product development engineer. You can see photos of the Freedom Chair at thetakeaway.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.